Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world. Good evening, everyone. I'll say it only because we are all thinking it. Great comeback, Chido. That was... Well done. Well, tonight we will look at a topic that many of us may only see as a problem when it resolves to productivity. It's a topic that we only think it's a problem when it affects your report. It is a problem only when it affects your paycheck at the end of the month. But there's a picture that I wanted to ask if you are familiar with, and it's not there, so I'll just paint it for you. If you pulled out your alarm, does that look familiar? Whose alarm looks like that? You know, you're supposed to be awake at 7:35, but there's a whole runway from 7:10, 7:15, 7:20, 7:25, all the way to 7:35. Does that sound familiar? It might be all of us, it may be no one, but I know it's someone in the room here tonight. We all just want 5 more minutes. We are convinced 5 more minutes of sleep will satisfy that need for slumber that we have. And so what do? We snooze until it's panic time. The 7:35 one didn't ring, but it did. You just were unconscious and you switched it off. And now it's 8 o'clock. You are panicking because class starts at 8:05. And so the question that I want to ask you tonight, even as you start the sermon, is when was the last time you confessed to God for the sin of laziness? When was the last time you asked God to forgive you for being lazy? You see, we often may confess that, hey, I could have done a task better if I gave myself to it. If I actually studied, I would have got a distinction. That's usually the stuff that we say, but not often do we say, I was lazy, so I didn't get a distinction. If I worked harder on this project, it would have been done quicker and probably better. Those are the things we say. But how often do we say, I was lazy, so it took me longer, and it wasn't as great as it could be? And so what usually happens is 2 weeks worth of work, we cram it in 12 hours. And those 12 hours, we complain that they weren't enough, forgetting that we were given that project in January, and now it's April. And so what do we do with procrastination? What do we do with laziness? Are these sins that we often take to God in confession? And so tonight we are in Proverbs chapter 6. So if you turn to the book of Proverbs, we are in chapter number 6. And the topic we are looking at is laziness. But I've titled my sermon, Snooze Away from the Lord. Snooze Away from the Lord. Proverbs chapter 6, and we'll start our reading from verse 6. Verse 6 says this, "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man." Let's pray together. And so, Lord, even as we come to the preaching of your word, I do pray that you'd help me to be clear in my communication. I pray, Lord, that the word which you have helped me in my preparation would be from you and nothing of me. God, I pray that this would be something that we search our hearts and ask ourselves, have we excused ourselves from laziness? Have we been the sluggard who finds every excuse for why we don't do what we ought to do? And God, if it's true of us, I pray as we go through this passage, and even as we go through some of the Proverbs, that you, O God, would help us. Help us, precious Lord, to not be the sluggard, but help us to repent from our ways and be those who work to the glory of God. So speak to us tonight, we ask, in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. And so we are introduced in Proverbs chapter 6 to the sluggard. And it will be helpful for us to identify what is a sluggard before we look at what the sluggard does. The book of Proverbs is rich in proverbs about laziness and about the sluggard. And so we'll look at a few of them to try to identify what the sluggard is. And so first, let's consider the word sluggard. The word sluggard is not a word that we use common today. It's not a word that your favorite rapper on Spotify would use, or your favorite My Piano artist. And so we have to try to look for the definition of the word sluggard. Merriam-Webster defines the word like this: a sluggard is a habitually lazy person. Cambridge defines it this way: a sluggard is a lazy person who sleeps and hates work. Don't say amen, but am I talking to you? Tonight, this is who we're going to find that the author is talking to. The man who always finds a reason to nap, but also finds reasons not to work. And so to help us think of to think correctly about who the sluggard is, and to help us to examine our own hearts, because usually when you think of a sluggard, who do we think of? My brother, he's lazy. My wife, she's lazy. My children, they are lazy. Don't get me started on my roommate. He or she is lazy, but we don't want to be termed as the sluggard. And so as we consider some of these proverbs, I want you to do some soul searching and answer the question, are you the sluggard? And if the answer is yes, we'll then come back to Proverbs chapter 6 and see what is the challenge or the encouragement to the sluggard. So the first proverb I want us to consider is Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 30 to 34. Proverbs 24. Now, Proverbs 24 says this. It says, I pass by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was breaking down. Then I saw and considered it, and looked and received instruction. So the proverbial writer says, I observe this, and from this, I want to understand what can I learn from this to teach to my child that he can be wise in the instructions of the Lord. And so he meets this guy in Proverbs 24, and who is this guy? This guy is not bothered about the state of his vineyard. He's not bothered about the state of his yard, and so we see that it is overgrown with thorns, it is covered with nettles, and even the wall that surrounds it is broken down. Is there someone in the room? If I walked into your room today, would I find your socks on the ceiling? Will I find your t-shirt from yesterday on the chair? Your clothes from the last week are piled on that chair that you have sitting on the corner. Are there dishes from the last month hidden in your microwave? Are you wearing the same t-shirt because of the amount of effort that is required to put clothes in the laundry? Is this you? See, reality is that the proverbial writer is talking about actual things that we could chuckle at, and things you don't expect to be found from the pulpit, because these are things that describe the sluggard. Or how about Proverbs 26? Proverbs 26 says this: the sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. Is there? Is there really a lion in the street? Is there a lion on the road? You see, well, what the proverbial writer is saying there is that the sluggard finds every excuse to not do what they need to be doing. If you look at verse 16 of Proverbs 26, it says the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. I loved the illustration of one of the authors who says, he gives one of the reasons that a sluggard could give you to not do work. Listen to this. It says a sluggard says this: we breathe air, okay? Trees make air, okay? Homework kills trees, therefore homework kills us, so I won't do homework. You see, the point is, the sluggard is crafty to make excuses as to why they shouldn't work. If I were as creative as the excuses that I make for school, if I was as creative as the excuses I made for work, maybe I'd have straight A's and maybe I'd get a raise at work. You see, for the sluggard, there's always a story of why they haven't completed tasks. There's always a story on why the assignment is not handed in on time. There's always a story about why they haven't finished a task at work. There's always a story about why they haven't attended important functions. There's a lion in the road. Again, we can consider Proverbs 26, verse 14 to 16. It says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his head in the dish. It wears him out to bring back to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. The sluggard loves his sleep. Maybe you've heard this saying and you've said it for yourself. If sleeping was an Olympic sport, you would get a gold medal. Well, that's the sluggard. You see, the truth is, I had to ask the leaders at youth to pray for me last month. Because I remember just feeling so tired that I constantly wanted to sleep, that I had to ask myself the question, is the line being blurred? Am I really tired because of the amount of work that I've done, or am I just tired because I'm lazy? You see, those are the tensions that we have to ask ourselves, because we may find ourselves being the sluggard who just prefer to sleep than to work. You see, he goes on to say that the sluggard will grab the piece of chicken on the plate, but that's all the energy that he had. He doesn't have enough energy to take that chicken that he grabbed and put it in his mouth, because that action takes too much work. He's too lazy. Or what about Proverbs chapter 20, verse 4? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 4. In Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. Listen to the definition of procrastination. Procrastination is the act of willfully delaying the doing of something that should be done. It is the act of willingly delaying, pushing forward, I will do it later, of something that should be done. And in some people, it is an habitual way of handling any task. Give them anything and they'll procrastinate. You see, something we need to pick up about the sluggard is irrational. You see, he doesn't work and yet he expects food. He stresses at the end of month, at the end of the month, like everybody else, expecting that SMS from the bank that sends money to him, but he hasn't even worked a day that month. The sluggard is irrational. Spurgeon mocks the absurdity of the sluggard, and he says this. He says, he has never taken the trouble to think. Yet I dare not to say that he jumps at his conclusions, because he never does such a thing as jump. He lies down and rolls into a conclusion. Yet he knows everything and has settled all points, and meditation is too hard work for him, and learning he could never endure. But to be clever by nature is his delight. He does not want to know more than he knows, for he knows enough already. And yet, he knows nothing. Have you met those guys? You will find them sitting around on a Sunday, The boots is open. There's loud music pumping. Those guys are the wisest people. But their own wisdom has not worked for them. Because many of them are the sluggard. They love to know, but they don't like to work. I hope you get the point. The sluggard could be any of us here today. Laziness is a sin that we often get away with because we don't consider it to be exactly that. We don't consider laziness to be a sin. You see, friends, what laziness does is it robs us of the opportunity to be good stewards of what God has given to us. Good stewards of our time. Good steward of our resources. Good stewards of the job that you have. Good stewards of the education that you have. Good stewards of the opportunities that you have. We're not good stewards because we are lazy. It also prevents us from fulfilling our God-given mandate to work. It has been given to us to work. In fact, Paul challenges us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. He says this, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." And so we can really take the be patient with them all and say, okay, we're to be patient with the idle, we are to be patient with the faint-hearted, and be patient with the weak. But my question today is, have you encouraged the faint-hearted? Probably you have. Have you helped the weak? Probably you have. When was the last time you admonished the idle in the church? When was the last time you saw somebody is simply being lazy and you admonish them in patience and in grace because you saw that what they're doing is not good for them? Reasons why we possibly don't do that is because laziness is common. Laziness is so common around us. It is so common probably within us that we never want to admonish our brothers and sisters in Christ who are lazy because we are nervous that they may point a finger back at us. How can I call him lazy when I have assignments sitting in my own laptop? Friends, we know the problem. We have seen the symptoms of laziness as described in the Proverbs above. But will you bring it up? Will you bring it up to a brother and sister in Christ and point out that, hey, brother, you may be the sluggard. You may be struggling with laziness, and it is something you need to repent from, using the correct language to help the problem. And so if the sluggard is the one we've described from those Proverbs, now I would like to encourage you to go back to Proverbs chapter 6. If you listened to those Proverbs and any one of them described you and you say, hey, I think I am the sluggard here tonight, then our author here in chapter 6 is inviting you to sit in the classroom of the ant. He invites you to sit in the classroom of the ant. Let's consider it again, verse 6. He says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard, and consider her ways and be wise." Do you want to be wise in the area of laziness? Do you want to be wise in the area of procrastination? He says, go to the ant, study her ways that you may be wise. Why does the author draw our attention to the ant? Well, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 24, we read, "Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise." Four things on earth are small, but they are exceedingly wise. 30:25 says this, "The ants are a people not strong, yet they provide their food in the summer." You see, the point here is it's not about the makeup of the ant. It is not about the size of the ant, but it's about the attitude. You see, he says the hard posture, as it were, of an ant is to work to provide for itself. The natural inclination of the ant is to work to provide for itself, to provide for its family, and to provide for its colony. You've probably watched A Bug's Life. If you haven't watched A Bug's Life, you've probably simply observed ants when you're sitting at a picnic. You probably watched as they were forming their lines and as they were carrying crumbs from your picnic picnic blankets, and some carried big chips, and you saw that chip was wandering away because the ants were carrying it. Some have been evil enough to break those lines, but that's a sermon for another day. But we've watched these ants transport the food, transport the materials in lines, and we all can conclude that ants are workers. Ants are even hard workers. Our author here has a specific ant in mind. This ant works, verse 7, without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. Some commentators suggest that this could be the harvester ant. It is the ant that is found in the Middle East. It stores its grain and then it gathers it in its nest. He says here to the lazy person, I want you to take time. Take time away from sleeping and observe the ant. They work hard to reap rewards in due season. You see, the difficulty we have in our generation and in our world is that many people want the rewards without the work. Some have even said, if I could get rich simply from sleeping, listening to music, playing video games, and watching TV, I would. The proverbial writer says to us, there is wisdom in this ant. This ant works without supervision. It does not need to be micromanaged to produce results. They don't need to be pushed. They don't need to be motivated by their parents, by their lecturers, by their bosses, or even by their spouses. They don't need to be motivated to be productive. They just go about their business. There's a deep-rooted understanding that work is a prerequisite for fruit. Another author by the name of Scott Hubbard says this, our inner procrastinator loves tomorrow, but only because he does not see tomorrow clearly. If he did, he would notice the coming harvest and know that today's nap might be tomorrow's barren field. In other words, we reap tomorrow what we sow today. Friends, we were created to work. Work is not a result of the fall. Work is what God has designed for us to be doing. And in fact, we can even make an argument that in the new heavens and the new earth, we will be working. The only difference is we work hard today. We sweat today because of the consequence of sin. But friends, that mustn't stop you from working. Because working is what God expects from us. I want to urge you. I'm talking to somebody in the room here today that people, you may be the one scrolling through Instagram and you conclude that you were not created to work, but you were created for the soft life. The writer of the Proverbs is saying that the soft life must be paid for by your sweat. So friends, we don't like work, let alone hard work. In fact, we complain if we do any sort of work, from a chore at home, to an assignment at school, to a task at the office. Yet, if we want to be productive, if we want even the approval of God, then friends, working is a must. Some start work at 8, and already at 9 in the morning, they're asking what time is knockoff. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, he asks the question, how long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. How long will you remain idle, O sluggard? 5 more minutes, you ask. A little more sleep, you ask. How long will you procrastinate, you sluggard? Poverty will come upon you like a robber, and it will want like an armed man. Like a thief in the night, like an intruding army, poverty will overcome you and leave you with nothing. What the author has observed is the end result of laziness is poverty. But we have to pause. See, we live in South Africa, And some of the hardest working people we know are the poorest. Some of the hardest working foreigners among us are the poorest. And so when we come to a passage like this, what do we do with that? Well, four things. Thing number one, this passage is not about acquiring riches. This passage is not saying work hard to be rich. This passage is basically saying, and we'll see just now, work hard to put bread on the table. Number two, this passage is an observation. He is saying that those who generally work, I have seen the pattern. If you work, there is reward. If you work, you get paid. If you go to the office, there is an SMS at the end of the month. So he's saying in this observation that those who generally do nothing have nothing. So those who do nothing have nothing, but he goes a step further and bother those who have. Those who do nothing have nothing, and they go further and bother those who have. Number three, this passage is about the need and importance of work against the dangers of being a sluggard. This passage is a warning. It's a warning to us all that if you do not work, you are the sluggard. And if you're the sluggard, the end result for you is poverty. Be warned. So the last thing is, this passage is really a warning. If you don't work, even for the $14.99 special of blue ribbon white bread at Checkers, then even that $14.99 bread could evade you. That's really the point. If you don't work to put bread on the table, then even the cheapest loaf that you could get will evade you. Waltke suggests that at least 14 proverbs relate to idleness, either explicitly or implicitly, to poverty, the bitter end of the sluggard. It is not riches that the lazy person lacks. It is food. It is the necessity of life. And so from this observation, our author is saying, hey, work and there is reward. In fact, Jesus would also say something about this, that the man who does not work must not eat. And so friends, what I really want us to see in the sermon here this evening is that laziness is subtle. Laziness creeps up on you. It comes out when you least expect it, like a thief. Not a lot of people want to be labeled lazy because we were labeled lazy by our parents growing up. But what we don't realize is the closer you look at the sluggard as provided in Proverbs, you will realize that the sluggard could be you. You will soon realize that you are the sluggard who is not working, and soon enough you will wake up, but it may be too late. Because by the time you wake up, you will have nothing. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 19 says this: the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. Church, people give up eventually on the lazy person. Life moves on, and the lazy person will soon realize that it's too late. They have created for themselves a path that is like a hedge of thorns. By the time you realize, you will be isolated. By the time you realize, people are avoiding you because you are not trustworthy. By the time you realize, people don't want to work with you because your work is tardy and it is always late. You will realize that your health is deeply affected because you're always working under pressure and under stress because you're doing 7 days worth of work in an hour because you procrastinated. Church, you sow today what you will reap tomorrow, and that really is the point of this proverb. And so I want to close with five implications. Five simple implications, and we're done. Implication number one, be faithful with the little things. Be faithful with the little things. Christ said, one who is faithful in a little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a little is also dishonest in much. With the little time that you have, be faithful. With the little knowledge that you have, be faithful.
With the little experience that you have, be faithful. With the small opportunities that you get, be faithful. When you have little or when you have much, be faithful, even the little possessions that you have, so that this principle is so firm in your mind that if God blesses you with much, you are still faithful and you are working. But if God says that your portion is to only have enough for today, as we saw in last week's sermon, then you'll still be faithful and you'll be faithful to work. So number one, be faithful with the little things. Number two, be a good steward of what you have. Be a good steward of what you have. We learned that the ant had bread in the summer and it gathers in the harvest. The ant was wise. It was wise that with whatever she got during the seasons of harvesting, that is, in the seasons of planting, in the seasons of watering, we see that the ant had bread. In the seasons of harvesting, she still had bread because she didn't spend it all in one place. And so there's an element of wisdom. Be a good steward of what you have. Number three, sow today what you will reap tomorrow. Friends, what you sow today is what you reap tomorrow. If you don't study for that test today, it will affect you tomorrow. If you put in little effort on your work today, it will affect you tomorrow. If you are sluggard in the office today, it will affect you tomorrow. I want to remind us of Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" What I want to remind us is that God has designed us to care for, to subdue, and to have dominion over the earth. What the ant does when the ant is working hard is the ant is doing exactly what the ant was designed to do. Are you doing what God has designed you to do? Are you caring for the earth? Are you subduing the earth? Are you showing dominion over the earth? Are you working as God had commanded you to work? Friends, the sin, the devil, and your flesh will always oppose what God has naturally designed for us to do. And so when you find yourself that it's easier to be lazy, it's easier to procrastinate than it is to be productive and to be faithful, of course it is, because that's what pleases the flesh. It's what gives pleasure to the flesh. And so it will take effort. It will take resolve for you to turn it around and work to the glory of God. But number three, my third implication is, but what about the work of salvation? When we come now to the table, I'm going to mention a different work, but it's the work of Jesus Christ that attained for us salvation. But how does being a sluggard affect the work that God has called for us to do as those who are saved? Are you working out your salvation in fear and in trembling? Are you a fruitful and a faithful workman? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. What I want us to see is that the work of salvation is also a tiresome work. It is also a work that requires effort. And so my question is, do you not think that you could also be a sluggard when it comes to the things of God? What does a sluggard in Christ look like? Well, he puts off service in the local church. I'm always not available. He puts off the reading of the scriptures in his quiet time because he's always tired when it's time to be reading the scriptures, or he can't wake up because of all those alarms and he's too tired to wake up to read the scriptures. Could you be the sluggard and your sluggardness is preventing your growth in Christ? The sluggard is also too lazy to swing the sword against his sin, and he finds himself constantly sinning because it takes too much effort to again and again, again and again, again and again fight my sin. Friends, the work of salvation requires us to put in effort. And if you think being a sluggard in the work of the earth can just stay in this one department and you don't think it will spill over in the way that you approach the things of God, then my friend, you are lying to yourself. The reward of the sluggard is also poverty. There are no crowns for the sluggard in heaven. There is no "well done, my good and faithful servant" for the sluggard in heaven. Shall I even ask, will the sluggard see heaven if he continues in his ways? So that's the real reason why I titled my sermon tonight, "Snooze Away from the Lord." You may find yourself snoozing, snoozing, snoozing the things of God because you don't have the capacity, you don't have the efforts to do those things because you are busy. But have you ever asked yourself, is it really because you're busy or is it because you're lazy? We will talk about priorities in another sermon, but tonight I want to say, search your heart and see, maybe it's laziness. Maybe you've been lazy in the approach of the things of God. But lastly, I want to close with my last implication. There's actually four, not five. Remember God. Remember God. It is God who gives and he takes away. What we have in this passage really is principles. And so we preach principles as that. We preach them as principles. But with these principles, we need to keep in good tension our theology of the sovereignty of our God. It is our God who provides. So even if you are not the sluggard in this room, but you're the one who is working hard, friend, it is not your hard work that provided for you. Like we read last week, don't build sandcastles with money. Don't build sandcastles with your possessions, because when the wind blows, that sandcastle will crumble and it will fall. But put your trust in the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Be a faithful worker with what God has given to you, trusting that it is God who gives and he takes away in due season. Trust in God, my friend. Trust in God. So it is not the work that provides for us. Because I don't want to give you another excuse to say, yeah, if God's going to provide for me, I'm not going to work. But friends, it is God who provides for us through the work that he has allowed for us to have for the glory of his name, but also for the furtherance of his kingdom. And so I want to encourage you this evening. Your job is not to worry for tomorrow. For again, tomorrow has not been promised to us. But whilst you still have light, whilst it is still light, be productive and work. If you ever find yourself the sluggard, just remember these words. Consider the end. Let us pray. And so God, even tonight, I want to come to you and I want to confess. I want to confess, Lord, as I was preparing this sermon, in many ways I felt you were speaking to me. God, I know, I speak for myself, it may be true for someone else in this room, but there are many times when I find myself as a sluggard. And so God, tonight I want to come before your throne of grace and confess my sin and ask that you will forgive me for my sin of laziness. God, I pray for those in the room here tonight that they heard this sermon and considered their ways. Considered if they too are the sluggard, and I pray that they too would be faithful to confess this sin to you, but also repent. But repent of their laziness, repent of being idle, repent of faithfully procrastinating. Lord Jesus, I pray that we would be good stewards of the time that you give to us. Help us to be good stewards of the possessions that you give to us. Help us to be good stewards of the opportunities that you give to us. That God, you would use them to bring glory to you, and also to remember that whilst we are there, we have a purpose as kingdom saints to proclaim the name of Christ. And so, Lord, I pray as the sermon lingers in the hearts and minds of your people, that you help them to be able to apply it in their lives, and Lord, be fruitful to teach others also. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.